Crop and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
It's 11 o'clock in the great city of Chicago, and we're here for you every single morning, just trying to help you get through your days as we all deal with this reality. And today, I coined it last week, it's Carry Out Friday. Please pick up a burger, pick up whatever it is that you want to eat, and patronize our local bars and restaurants that are trying to do such great work with contactless delivery, and they're trying to be doing everything right. So I just ordered a bunch of food. I'm going to pick it up right after the show, and I hope you will do the same to try and help these people that are struggling so mightily. Dr. Jim Phillips has been a dear friend of mine for a long, long, long time. Actually, I got to know him in 1989, and now here he is. He's Dr. James Phillips. He's the VP and Director of Athletics at Northwestern. He's on the Men's Selection Committee for the basketball tournament that was just canceled. And he's also in charge of several hundred student athletes at a prestigious university. And he joins me now. Jim, how you doing this morning, buddy?
I'm doing great, Cap. Doing great. And always fantastic to be on with you. And thanks for all you do. We need a diversion these days, and you create that for us every morning. So kudos to you, brother.
Greatly appreciate it. First, how is your family? And I know you have a number of children. How are they dealing with Dr. Jim being home every day?
Not good. Yeah, not good. We have Phillips University, Phillips High School,
yep,
and Phillips Elementary School with our five kids. And my goal with Laura, my great wife, is to make it so uncomfortable for them that they are racing back to their respective institutions of higher learning and middle school and elementary school. So, that should be everybody's goal. That's homeschooling these days.
So how do you deal with, everyone's on this home quarantine, this stay-at-home order. How do you deal with it from your athlete's perspective at Northwestern? University shut down, but you have a responsibility to several hundred athletes.
No question, Cap. We have 19 programs, 523 student athletes. And so we're engaged with them on a daily basis, whether it's directly with their coaches or coaching staff, whether it's with their academic service area. We just finished our winter quarter, so we're on spring break right now, and we'll resume e-learning coming here in April the 6th. But it doesn't mean our academics take a hiatus. We have our entire staff that's working remotely from home and connecting with the student athletes in the ways we connect today with communications. Our sports performance, sports medicine, you have athletes that are in different types of physical conditions. Some are coming off of injury. Some are coming off of surgery. Some have just finished their season abruptly. And so it's all hands on deck. And I will tell you, the communication's been even better than it's ever been before. And I think sometimes we take for granted just being in a physical space, and we've had to be creative with how do we implement the things that we're doing on a daily basis in a remote way. So I'm really proud of the staff and what they've done. But to your point, at the end of the day, we're responsible for every one of those 523 student athletes academically as well as athletically.
Now, you also have some students that come from outside the United States. Are they back in Europe? Did you not let them travel back because of, I know you have at least two that are from Italy.
Correct, Cap. So we have a really nice size of student athletes from other countries and all over the world, not just a few countries, but really spread the globe. And a majority of those student athletes have stayed, and we have them on campus, though campus is shut down per se, of classes aren't taking place and only essential personnel are allowed on campus. But they're in really great places. So we have a couple student athletes from Italy, some from Spain, some from Asia. And the best place for them right now, that we think, and really their parents, are drivers of this, is the United States and right here on campus here in Evanston. And so we're continuing to look out for them. and making sure they're safe and healthy. But as we know about this pandemic, it reaches across the globe. It reaches across race and nationalities and countries and genders and all of those types of things. So that becomes top of mind for all of us, and just to make sure that they're safe. But then once you get them to that place where you feel that they're safe and they're abiding by whatever rules or policies are in place, stay in place or complete shelter, or it's okay, you can go out, but no groups of larger than 10, depending on where they're at in the world, you're trying to get them back to some normalcy. So they're wanting to train, they're wanting to work out. And so you try to have workouts for 523 that are unique to them. Some have some equipment at home. Others don't have equipment at home. Some have some space. Some don't. And so this becomes a little bit of a boutique kind of feel of individual kinds of performances, individual kinds of support. And then when we get back into the spring quarter, which will kick off, as I mentioned, on April 6th, you know, we're right back at it. And so trying to get them to remain in some type of normal day-to-day structure for all of us, Cap, you've talked about it a lot on your show since this has happened the last several weeks, is really important. It's important for mind, body, and spirit. And part of it is the withdrawals, I think. You know, I think we underestimate the importance that sport has for these athletes and what it's doing to them internally. And so from a mental health standpoint, we need to make sure that becomes a priority for us as we're dealing with these young student athletes.
Talking to Dr. Jim Phillips, he's the athletic director at Northwestern and University VP. So I saw this article yesterday where the NCAA's annual distribution to D1 schools expected to be $225 million in total, down from an expected nearly $600 million. Do you think that will affect coaching changes? I mean, normally in college basketball, we've seen 40 coaching changes by now. We've seen, you know, less than five because, A, how do you do an interview? You can't read body language. You can't really sit down and have this heart-to-heart. You're doing it on like a Zoom chat. Plus, you're making a multi-million dollar commitment at the upper levels of D1.
Cap, your experience tells you that. I mean, you're a former coach. You understand it. I think you said it really well. The things I will add to complement what you just said, you're looking for stability in critical times, in uncertain times. And so the opportunity to retain a coach, or if it's a close call, it really is going to go in that direction in most cases, because the world's so uncertain right now. Forget about the college athletics, but just the world, that staying the course and having stability is really important. And then uncertainty of the future leads all of us to kind of risk adverse decisions right now. We don't know what the future is going to be. So to your point about these are multi-million dollar decisions, they are. And so you're somewhat risk adverse right now, not knowing and not having some clarity to what you reported to, which is factual about the NCAA distribution. That's going to have a trickle down impact for all of us on our campuses. And we're fortunate. I mean, we're fortunate to be in the Big Ten Conference. But I also have experience at a place like Northern Illinois in the Mid-American Conference, where the resources aren't as great. They're doing wonderful things at every one of these schools, but some have more resources than others. And so I think we really have a responsibility at the Power Five level, Cap, you know, the SEC, ACC, Pac-12, Big 12, and the Big 10, to make sure that we do everything we can to keep college athletics together. And that's something that I know we're thinking about and we should be continuing to talk about, because we have those schools and those conferences that are just less resourced. And the beauty of an NCAA tournament, the beauty of the NCAA championships, it's all comers. It's across 352 schools. It's across 32 conferences, and everybody's got a shot to win a national championship. Maybe less so in the sport of football, and we know the realities of that. But in all the other championships that the NCAA supports, every school in the country, every program in the country has an opportunity to win a national championship and have an experience for a student athlete that really is similar, more similar than dissimilar.
Jim, when you look at the NCAA tournament, you were on this men's selection committee. You were in New York. I was in New York. Thank God that's been over 2 weeks ago now. But when you were sitting in that room and you're starting to evaluate, all right, is Dayton a one seed? Is that team worthy of being in the team, in the field at all? When all this started to come to realization, I don't know if we're going to have a tournament. Take us inside that room. What was that like?
Well, it's another great question, Cap. This is a labor of love. It's a five-year commitment. It's really an honor and a privilege to be asked to be a part of it. And so you have a deep sense of responsibility. So for each of these years, it really begins the May preceding the Final Four and that following, you know, kind of year and basketball season. So, you know, we get together in New York for a week. We're sequestered. It's the 10 committee members with the NCAA staff. Danny Gavitt runs it. The guy is incredible. His dad, you know, is a legendary commissioner and an icon in college athletics. But we're together. We had a really nice dinner with CBS and Turner on March the 10th, which was a Tuesday. These dates kind of stick in my head. We started to kind of formulate some thoughts after our Sunday call. And so we're together on the 10th and on the 11th. We're putting the brackets together. You know, we're putting the field together, not the brackets, because that's one of the last things that you do. And you're having debate and you're having conversation. And each of the responsibilities for the committee members is you're responsible for six or seven conferences throughout the year of those 32. And then you share information and debate and talk about those things. And on that Wednesday, you know, we were really staying close with the NCAA and Dr. Brian Hainlein, who's the head of medicine and medical affairs, CDC, World Health Organization folks, infectious disease individuals, our regional local experts in the health area. And we could see that the pandemic was really spreading quickly and we were getting information. And so very candidly, we tried to save the tournament in a safe way, which is the announcement that you saw on that Wednesday, the 11th, which was we're going to continue on with the NCAA tournament, but there won't be any fans. And then, you know, really the tipping point to me, and this is really my perspective. I don't know if others would share it on the committee, but when you see an individual on that Wednesday night, like Rudy Gobert, one of the all-stars in the NBA, health-wise is incredibly fit, really an athletic specimen. And for you to see what happened in that Thunder Jazz game in Oklahoma City and see that he was afflicted by it, I think it really gave everybody pause, not only in the NCAA basketball room, but across the country. Like, this is really, really a serious time. And then, you know, we slept on it, and then the next morning, you know, it was the announcement to cancel it. And that was done by President Emmert, who did a really good job under very difficult circumstances with the Board of Governors. They ultimately made the decision. We had made it a recommendation from a men's basketball committee that we do cancel the tournament. Ultimately, they made the decision to do that. And I'm proud of how it was handled across the NCAA. And not only did that take place, but the seriousness of it warranted the cancellation of all NCAA championships in the winter, as well as the spring season and championships. And that's hard. It's really hard when you think about how hard these young men and women have worked, how committed they've been, coaches, and to not have a wrestling championship or a swimming championship or a track and field championship, that hurts these student athletes to the core. But at the end of the day, it was health, welfare, and safety of these young people that we were responsible for that led to those decisions.
Well, again, God bless your family, to all the athletes and all the people in that community that you're dealing with. And thank you for being such a good friend. And if we can be of help to you guys in any way, all you got to do is reach out.
You got it, Cap. And I want to just end by saying what you say all the time, thoughts and prayers to all those that have been afflicted in one way or another, friends, family, and all the rest of it. We're all praying for you. And then hearty, hearty, sincere gratitude to our first responders, our medical field, our frontline individuals that each and every day are putting their lives at risk for the betterment of our country, you know, city, great city of Chicago and our community. So God bless that group as well.
Well said. Love you. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Cap.
See you, buddy. Thank you. There you go. He is Dr. Jim Phillips, athletic director, vice president at Northwestern. We've got more calls. People want to chat. 312-332-3776. We'll get to your call straight ahead. ESPN.
It's Cap and Co. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, phone lines hopping. 11:20 in the great city of Chicago on a carryout Friday. Patronize those restaurants. Let's go back to the phones with Chris Bleck and Eric Ostrowski. Danny off till Monday. I'm Cap, and Lewis is in Hyde Park. Lewis, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, what's up, Cap? How you doing? How you hanging in there, man?
I'm hanging in there every day, man. Hopefully you are as well.
Yes, I am. I just want to talk about Jimmy Graham. I heard you guys saying earlier that the focal point or the focus of him coming here was to possibly get more opportunities that, you know, he wasn't getting in Green Bay on the Matt LaFleur. But I watched some of those Green Bay games, man, and there were a lot of games where he dropped the ball. I think there was one playoff game, an important game, where Rodgers threw him a good pass. He tried to pull it down with one hand, and he dropped it instead of pulling it down with two hands. And my focal point is, if he doesn't have the productivity anymore or the reliability to be able to catch and do what he's known for doing, being that top, you know, high-level tight end, what else can he do for us as a Chicago Bear? Because he's never been known for his blocking, whether it's run blocking or pass blocking. And one of the things we need to really do next season is to get our running game going. So we're really going to need that blocking. So that's my question. Can he become an effective blocker, which is going to be important with our offense?
Well, they're not counting on him to block. They're counting on him to be a threat, especially in the red zone, which he says, hey, I'm just letting you know, you are going to get a guy who will be a matchup nightmare. Now, again, does that, because he says it, does that mean that's going to happen? Absolutely not, but he feels like he knows people are doubting him, and he is relishing in that opportunity, Lewis. So we'll see.
All right, man. Take care.
We'll see how it all shakes out. Thanks for the call, man. 312-332-3776. Craig's next on the northwest side. Hey, Craig. Craig? All right, Craig's not there. Let's go to Efren. He's uptown. Hey, Efren, what's up, man?
Hey, Cap, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, man. It's first-time caller. I've been listening to you for about 4 years now. I appreciate you taking my phone call.
I appreciate you calling and listening. What's going on?
So, man, I just want to talk about the ESPN app. I'm a regular listener. I work for a huge medical company, so I can't really listen live all the time. But I always love to listen to you guys. And the last time that the regular ESPN app uploaded a show was September 27th, so I had been dying to hear from you, from Carmen and Yurko, from Walden and Sylvie.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to say that new ESPN 1000 app is fantastic. Whoever created it is a godsend. You know, it allows me to listen to you guys whenever I can. You guys upload the episodes ASAP. So I just want to thank you guys for that.
Yeah, I appreciate, sure we appreciate you that. That's our new boss, Mike Thomas. He said, we're getting a new app and it's going to be up quick. And he had people on it and boom. And it, yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's instant on. You click on the app, you're already listening. So thank you very much for downloading it. And thank you for your loyalty to our station.
Thanks, Cap. Thanks for taking my call. You guys stay safe.
You too. Stay safe and healthy, Efren. Appreciate you. 312-332-3776. Don't forget, we'll play a little shot, no shot a little bit later. So looking forward to that as well. Carmen and Yurko at noon, Waddle and Sylvie at 2. And then, Chris, when are you on this weekend? Sunday morning with the great Adam Abdallah?
Sunday, 8 to 10 a.m.
That'd be great. I always laugh when I get an Adam Abdallah tweet, another satisfied customer. I love when you guys go back at people.
We're here for the people, Cap.
Yes, you are, 100%. 312-332-3776. Sean's in Waukegan. Hey, Sean, what's up, buddy?
How are you doing, guys?
I'm good. How are you?
Last year, you got that one caller that calls from Washington State University. I'm a Washington State Cougar. 2 with the Wazoo. Uh-huh. And last year I called you guys and I said, you got to pick up this guy, Gardner Minshew. And whatever, you know, we missed it. This guy, Anthony Gordon, is someone we could pick up in the fourth, fifth, sixth round. And this kid's a stud, and he's going to be he would be the second Coug to take Nick Foles' job. I'm telling you, the guy's a good he's a tough ball player. Take a look at the videos, like he was telling you. He's someone that we really should consider the Bears.
Look, would you draft a quarterback in the second round?
Not second, fourth or fifth. Not second, no.
And you,
I mean,
and
later,
you...
later in the rounds. I mean, we already have a quarter. We already have two quarterbacks, right? So I would put myself in a position to at least have a third quarterback that can sit there. Because I'm telling you, this kid's going to be taking someone's position. I don't think Nick Foles is going to be here that long. He's only going to be here a year or two. We're going to need a quarterback after that. This Anthony Gordon is someone that we can develop, someone who can sit back there, and he can learn. I mean, it's a great opportunity. It was an opportunity very similar to Gardner Minshew last year. And Gardner Minshew ended up showing up. And this kid, if you end up doing some research on this ball player, you'll see that he's been overlooked in high school. He was overlooked in college. He went to a JC. He came to Washington State. He finally got a starting position as a senior, and he balled out. And he had an incredible year. And now you've got scouts that are – and when you look at the write-ups that the scouts have on this kid, you'll see he's definitely worth the time to look at.
Well, I'm going to watch some tape on him later, man, so we'll see where this kid goes. Have a happy, healthy, safe weekend, okay?
Go Cougs.
Go Cougs. There you go. I've had some people tweeting at me telling me this kid's going to be gone in the second round. That's not what I'm finding as I've looked at Brake. He's projected as a fourth to fifth round pick and possibly a practice squad guy.
Second round will be a reach, but
practice squad.
If the NFL does one thing, they reach for quarterbacks.
NFL.com just said back of the roster slash practice squad.
Put them on hold. Cap, you know, when you think about it, though, all the projections can say stuff until we get into the first and second round and teams start to get desperate and start taking quarterbacks. And, you know, that's where you see if there's there's four quarterbacks that go in the first round. Who would those quarterbacks be? The quarterbacks would be Tua, Joe Burrow, Herbert, Love, right?
Those four.
Once you get past that, okay, say quarterbacks in the second round, how many do you have to have come off the board before you get to Anthony Gordon becoming that guy who turns into a third-round pick? Probably three. Hurts, Fromm, Eason. And then you get to Anthony Gordon. You could probably cherry-pick a couple other guys as well, but... Like, I get it. He may not be a guy right now who you, like, maybe as a prospect, he is not a third-round pick. But you know how this stuff goes.
Yep.
Once quarterbacks start going off the board, say someone
there's a run on him.
What, the 49ers have that Colts pick at 13 now, right?
Uh-huh.
Because of the trade from last week. Say they understand the value of quarterbacks and say they grab a quarterback to put behind Jimmy Garoppolo. Not to replace him right now, but just to have...
Get in the pipeline.
Yeah, yeah, right. So okay,
Where do you think Anthony Gordon is ranked by CBS? They have one...
As far as quarterbacks?
Yeah.
I would say probably six or seven.
He is eighth.
Okay.
They have Joe Burrow as the second overall player in the draft. Chase Young is number one. Doesn't mean he's going one. Tua Tagovailoa is the fifth-ranked player. Jordan Love is 19. Justin Herbert is 20. Okay, after those four, who's the next highest-ranked quarterback? Who do you think?
Jordan Love.
After
Herbert?
Him. Burrow, Tagovailoa, Love, and Herbert. Who's fifth?
Probably Eason.
Jacob Eason is 5, Jake Fromm is 6, Jalen Hurts is 7, Anthony Gordon is 8.
Okay, yeah, and Mel Kiper Jr. on ESPN.com, his list is basically that from 5 down. He has Eason 5, 6 Hurts, 7 Fromm, Steven Montez from Colorado at 8, James Morgan from Florida International at 9, and Nate Stanley from Iowa 10. So he doesn't even have Gordon in his top 10.
There you go. And the one please don't tell me the Bears drafted Shea Patterson because I think he stinks. From Michigan?
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Me either. Me either, man. Just please, Ryan, do not announce. You sign him as a free agent, I don't care. Just please don't use draft capital to get that guy. Please. 312-332-3776. We're going to play a little shot, no shot. We're going to take calls. We'll take calls for sure. 312-332-3776. Craig and Andy and your calls are straight ahead next.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000. I'm David Kaplan with Christopher J. Black. Is your middle initial J? Did I guess right? Did I know that?
Nope.
What is your middle initial?
You've asked me before, Cap.
I can't remember. What is it?
Allen.
Nope.
Oh, that's a good guess.
Nope.
What letter?
Nope.
You're brutal.
Listen, Cap, let's just go with nope.
Christopher Nope Black. That actually works.
Yeah, your parents knew you well before they had any idea.
If we could go back in time and they announced Chicago Bears have selected Tom Brady, Chris would be like, it's Pace. Nope, he can't play.
Yeah. See, that's where you have such a skewed perception on life, where I'm just trying to give a dose of reality, and you think that I just hate on Ryan Pace. Do I have to get out? Do I have to dig in my backpack and get the Ryan Pace stats from the last 5 years for you again?
You're unbelievable. Let's go back.
I have it. Hold on. I will go into the book bag.
Hold on a second.
Here I go, getting into my book bag to get the stats.
Yeah, we're going to the phones.
On Ryan Pace in the last 5 years.
Andy on the north side. What's going on, Sparkles?
Hey, Cap. Staying safe.
How are you? I'm staying safe. How about you?
Me too. All right. I missed, usually I listen from the get-go, but I missed it earlier. I had to do some shopping for my mom. Anyway, Infetti, I don't know what you guys said before. My comments on him, he's first-round pick, had a good year in 18, real good. He's played guard and tackle. What's your projection for him with the Bears, starting at a guard and then kicking out at tackle when they get rid of those two bums?
First of all, you're unbelievable. You're brutal. Look,
yeah, I am, but I'm on it.
I think he is going to probably be their first option at right guard. It depends what they do at picks 43 and 50. If they can find a way to add somebody in one of those second-round picks that they feel is Cody Whitehair, like plug and play as a rookie, well, then that person's probably going to be starting somewhere. I don't think you're finding your starting left tackle at pick 43. I don't. I think they'll try and add a really impactful guard and then have Ifedi, who can play multiple positions. It is what it is, man. Maybe you get two offensive linemen in the second round. Maybe there's a tight end that's sitting there. That's how it's going to, for me, that's how I think it might break down.
Here's my other point. Now, I'm a Notre Dame hater like you, but this kid Bars, I know he hurt his knee, but he was good in college.
Yeah, Alex Bars is a guy they have high hopes for.
Yeah, I was going to say he had a whole year to rehab, or a year and a half, and maybe he's comes in there at guard, and then they get rid of one of those, like I said before, I'll call them tackles, and kick it in Fetty out there. Or he's the swing tackle.
Yeah, he could be the swing guy. Hey, man, I appreciate your call. I appreciate you listening. 312-332-3776. I want to get to Craig. He called back. And then I want to play some audio from Kirk Herbstreit on ESPN Radio last night. Craig on the Northwest side, what's up, buddy?
Hey, you hung up on me, man. I'm a fellow Bear fan. I'm kind of offended by that.
You weren't there.
I was there. I answered. Okay, anyway, look, middle initial A, my comment is this. There's a lot of people out of work today, right? There's a lot of people that lost a lot of money.
Yep.
They're going to lose a lot more money.
Yep.
They're scared. Their employers aren't trying to find ways to make up the money for them. But yet on Sports Talk Radio, not just your show, everywhere, TV, the subject is, how do we find a way to squeeze 162-game baseball season in? So what? So the owners can make their money and these players can make their full salaries? I mean, they're no different than anybody else. I really don't care whether Javi Baez makes $6 million this year when he was supposed to make $8 million or whatever that number is. You know, when it's safe to play baseball, you pick up the schedule where it left off, the season ends where it was supposed to end, the playoffs start where they were supposed to start, and your salary's prorated, and so be it. I mean, end of story. These guys are no different than anybody else.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone's saying they are different than anybody else. I just don't know if it's feasible to say you just pick it up where it left off. I think they're going to have to work it out because you also want to make sure that you have players playing. For example, what if you knew you were going to get six games with the Kansas City Royals, who stink, while the team in that division is going to get six games against a team that's way better? They're going to try and make it as equitable a playing field as they can, period.
Okay, that's fine. But if they're making an 82-game, if it's an 82-game season, then that, so be it. It works for the NHL, it works for the NBA, right?
I agree with you. If it's whatever we have to do to keep people healthy, and if it means we cut it down to 70 games, it is what it is.
That's correct. Thank you.
Thanks,
go Bears.
Craig. Go Bears. See you, kid. 312-332-3776. Here is Kirk Herbstreit last night. He was on ESPN Radio. Pay attention. It's a guy who's as wired in the football world, especially college, as anybody.
In my opinion, until we have a vaccine where we can really just, okay, now we've got some control over this, even if this curve is flattened out, this virus is still out there. I'll be shocked, honestly. I haven't talked with anybody. I'll be shocked if we have NFL football this fall, if we have college football. I'd be so surprised if that happens. Just because from everything I understand, people that I listen to, you know, you're 12 to 18 months away from a vaccine. Until you have a vaccine, I don't know how you can let these guys go into locker rooms and let stadiums be filled up and how you can play ball. I just don't know how you can do it with the optics of it. If I'm a commissioner or I'm in charge, if I'm the NCAA, I just don't know how you can do that. Next thing you know, you got a locker room full of guys that are sick, and that's on your watch. I wouldn't want to have that. So as much as I hate to say it, I think this is we're scratching the surface of where this thing's going to go.
So that's Kirk Herbstreit again. He's speculating greatly there, but that is some of the perspective in the football world.
Everything right now is a great speculation. Saying May is a great speculation. Saying nothing is a great speculation. So that's kind of all we can do at this moment.
Yeah, when I watch Dr. Birx, I watch the government update every afternoon, and Dr. Birx is wildly impressive. She's awesome. She said that the analytics that her team is compiling and that she is looking at are not as dire as many of the others. So I hope she's right. We'll see how it all shakes out. Let's just keep social distancing, keep washing your hands. I go almost every break, I go scrub my hands. And there's no one in this studio here but me. Got Eric and Chris on the other side of the glass, and I'm in here by myself. I wiped down everything before I started. And yet I still, almost every break, I got to go spend 30 seconds singing happy birthday to myself, nice and slow, that Chris taught me, to wash my hands as best I can and then come back in and crank it back up. So anyway, I hope you're doing the same. 312-332-3776. Greg is in St. John, Indiana. Greg is a diehard ESPN 1000 fan, and he is a good man. Got your back,
Greg.
Oh,
you're the best man, Cap. That's right. Why I appreciate you. That's why I wanted to call in.
I appreciate
you.
You
always got my back. You know, Black on the other side of the glass, some guys, I asked them for help with that Bears Twitter madness poll. They're nowhere to be found, but you were there for me, Cap.
The what?
Even Waddle and Sylvie, you know, I'm supposed to be in their corner. In their corner, they don't even help me. But you help me, Cap, because you're a man of the people, and that's why I love you.
Chris is going, what is he talking about?
He knows exactly what I'm talking about. Did you hear how they hung up on me yesterday with my riddles? What do you think of my riddles so far?
I think your riddles are outstanding.
think I got a Cubs one cooking up for them this afternoon. I'm going to give it my last shot. But I do want to just tell you guys how much I appreciate this stuff. I'm still laying brick. I know there's a lot of people off work right now. But stressful times, you know, this is when I realize how much I do cherish, you know, this interaction we're having right now and just listening to you guys on the radio while I'm laying brick. I really do appreciate it. And that's how we're going to get through this. And hopefully it isn't the doomsday scenario that was just painted there a minute ago, you know, by Herb Street. And hopefully it is shorter, but we got to play this day by day. So, you know, we're going to keep riddling along, right, Capper?
Yeah, absolutely. Wait, Chris has a question for you, Greg.
Here we go.
All right, Greg, here we go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I gave these numbers a cap for Jimmy Graham this season. Can he meet these expectations? How realistic is it that he gets 50 catches, 600 yards, and 5 touchdowns for the Chicago Bears this season?
I think I would take the under on 50 catches. I would probably 600 yards is close. I would somewhere around there. But the touchdowns, you know, he's going to be their red zone option. That's the one thing about Jimmy Graham is he's durable. That's why they gave him the money and brought him here, because he plays, he shows up every Sunday, and they didn't have that last year. And he'll be a red zone target, you know, if it's going to be Nick Foles or my guy Mitch, one way or another. So, you know, I would take the under on the first two, but I'd take the over on the last one.
All right. There you go, Cap.
Cap, how did you answer? No, that's a good that's a good answer. What, Cap, what did you say?
I went over on all three.
Braggs, what do you
calm
think?
Calm down, Cap. Calm down.
Hey, you have a great weekend. I
keep the eternal optimism. That's me and you as Cub fans, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
God bless you.
Later, guys.
There you go. There he is, Greg in St. John, Indiana.
By the way, it's Patrick.
Huh?
Wait, you asked me at the start of this segment what my middle name was. It's Patrick.
Christopher.
You totally forgot that even took place, didn't you?
No, I remember it taking place. By the way, have you seen the picture that they posted on The Athletic on Brian Hamilton's Twitter of new UIC coach Luke Yaklich?
No, describe it for me.
I want you to go click on that picture right now before we go to break. Just go to Brian Hamilton's Twitter. Click on his article. He just tweeted it. Luke Yaklich knows where they put the table with the boxes of T-shirts for team camp, and he knows what he's getting with the UIC Flames men's basketball job. I want you to click on that picture and tell me who he looks like twin brother-like. Come on.
Lon Kruger?
No.
I have no idea what you're talking at.
Are you looking at the picture where he's like got the play sheet in his hand? Dude, he's Jim Harbaugh's twin.
I saw
the face, and I'm like, I can't figure it out. But yeah,
that is Jim Harbaugh coaching UIC.
Like a skinny, skinny Jim Harbaugh.
No khakis, though.
No khaki. If he put khakis on and you saw that picture, you would be like, wait a minute. Is that Jim Harbaugh? Telling you. Twin. All right, we'll take a fast timeout. We'll get more of these calls.
Patrick.
Christopher Patrick Black and Eric Ostrowski. And I'm David Kapp. I'll be right back.
This is Kapp and Company. Follow on Twitter at The Kapp Man.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Chris, did you see what Fanatics is doing? They make the MLB jerseys. Eric, did you see this?
I did. It's a good gesture.
So they have stopped production on clothing for the players and began making masks and hospital gowns. I just retweeted an article from Forbes Sports Money. And they've got a man and a woman. One is wearing, it's got to be, it is. It's a Phillies face mask and Phillies hospital gown. No logo, but they are red and white pinstripe. And then she's wearing, it looks like Yankee stuff. It's like such a cool thing that these companies are trying so hard to do whatever it is they can to help. Very, very cool. We're all in this together. And it's Carry Out Friday to patronize those local bars and restaurants. Let's go back to the phones. And then I want to play some audio from Jimmy Graham before we get out of here. Bob's in Canaryville. Hey, Bob, what's up, you canary?
What's up, Dave? Jackson. What's up? That guy does look just like Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, my God. It's like his twin.
Like twin. Let's hope he can win the big one better than Jim Harbaugh.
There you go.
But getting to the Bears draft, I'd like to see him get the best offensive lineman or that tight end from Notre Dame, Komet.
Yeah, I don't think he's there at 43.
But the other guy I think is – I'd love to see him get is that J.K. Dobbins of Ohio State.
That guy's a beast.
Because David Montgomery doesn't do it for me. He needs someone to push him. And either him or Jonathan Taylor, and I think they're both going to be there at that pick.
Yeah, so. I don't think Cole Komet's there at 43. I'll be very, very surprised if he is.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Cap, thanks a lot.
Hey,
have
man,
a great day.
You stay safe, okay?
Thanks.
See you, buddy. 312-332-3776. Omar in Logan Square. Omar, what's up, man?
What's going on, Cap? I just want to say an announcement. I work for a food company. We distribute food to all the restaurants in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And it's called Chef's Warehouse. We're on 28th and Western.
Yep.
And my company, like, they're helping out the neighborhood and the people of Chicago. They're looking to go to a place to get some fresh produce and vegetables and eggs and oil, whatever. They got great deals over there. You can come by. And
all right. Yourself. Again, it's called what?
Chef's Warehouse, 28th and Western.
All right, Chef's Warehouse. Homer, we got your back, buddy.
All right.
All right, see you, kid. Stay safe out there. Chef's Warehouse, 28th and Western. There you go.
Cap, all right. Let me ask you this question before you get to Jimmy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
So Roger Goodell came out yesterday, sent a memo to all teams. The NFL draft will take place. You need to prepare yourself to conduct, as teams, to conduct the draft as they do. You just will not all be in the same location.
Correct.
Are you cool with that? Do you think that that's a good idea?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
Neither do I. And I think of all things that the NFL can do or sports can do right now, this is one that you really don't need to get people together to gather. I get it. Some teams may argue that you can't necessarily get all the credentials and background on players that you could in the past. But for the most part, if guys are at the combine, you have the score, your workout results, right? If you've done your research to this point, outside of the in-person meetings, which you could conduct over teleconference, over video conference, over these different avenues, they can do it. Do you think that they should change the way they do the draft this year, though?
No.
Should they add more
days?
Yeah, like split up.
Stretch it out.
Yeah.
Have a round a day. Make it a week long.
A full week of conversation, a full week of shows on TV that we can watch the NFL draft.
Look, I've made my point very well. I've been very clear, crystal clear over the last few years to you and Danny. Like, if you tell me that I got to sit.
You're not a fan.
Sit and watch the fifth round of the draft, and I'm going to hear, you know, commissioner's long gone. It's some secretary from the office going,
yes, with the 874th pick, the Chicago Bears select Bob Jones, offensive tackle, Hawaii Lutheran, Azusa Pacific.
Like, I give a flying rip.
Whoa. See, but here's the difference. What was his name? Bob Jones. He gets out of his stance early, and he can keep his arms at a good length while the defensive end is trying to go around him.
His hip bend.
So the hip bend and the way he kind of translates with Matt Nagy's system, I feel like, what was his name? Bob Jones from
Hawaii,
from Calamari University.
Bob Jones, Hawaii, yeah. Lutheran, yeah. Azusa Pacific.
Yeah, so I think in games 1-7 last season of the college football year, I thought that's when he played his best. A little slip, though, at the end. A lot of penalties, but I think his ability to get off the snap and kind of get his hands up, I think it really helps. Cap, I'm in on all NFL draft conversation
time. So you would be thrilled if they laid it out 7 days around a day.
Well, I think that would be cool for people who are looking for something to follow. I enjoy the way they have it right now before we get to what we're dealing with the coronavirus. So, like, I consume all of it all weekend anyway. And so I'm excited that they're going to do this and they're actually going to hold to making the draft happen because it gives us all something to kind of look for, be excited about.
Before all this nonsense and this horror time that we're in started, Like last year, I said to you, I want to know who the Bears take. Yeah. I want to go through the first round and then tell me who the Bears take in any other round. And occasionally, like, yeah, where did Jalen Hurts go or where did that guy go? Other than that, I'm long gone, man. No interest in sitting in on a Saturday hearing, yes, the San Francisco 49ers select punter Bob Smith. Yeah, great. Like, I care.
I know, but he had a hang time average around 4 seconds, and he can his really net return it. Was super low.
Strong kick. He can pin great. Teams back.
When he plays against my team, I'll watch him.
And he's a lefty punter, and Belichick loves lefty punters because it's harder to catch it as the returner.
And I think it's Bob Smith and Bob Jones. So all the players being drafted in Kaplan's fake reality world, they're all first named Bob.
That's it.
Calamari University, Bob.
That's it. Hawaii Lutheran Azusa Pacific.
Yep.
All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll cross talk with Carmen and Yurko in exactly 2 minutes.
Bob.